तच्छंयोरावृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु नः स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्यः ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजम् शन्नो अस्तु द्विपदे शं चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.
ओ डिवैन लॉर्ड, वी प्रे टू दी एंड वर्शिप दी द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल फॉर द वेल बीइंग ऑफ ऑल बीइंग्स. मे ऑल मिजरीज एंड शॉर्टकमिंग्स लीव अस फॉरएवर so that we may always joyfully sing in the sacrifices and worships for you, the Lord of all sacrifices. May all the medicinal herbs grow in potency so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May all human beings be happy. May all other beings be also happy. May there be peace within us all. May there be harmony among all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Good morning and welcome on this very auspicious day, Buddha Purnima. And we shall continue our study of Sadhana Panchakam. About 7 or 8 more instructions are remaining. The total 40 instructions contained in the hymn called Sadhana Panchakam, composed by Shankaracharya. We've been studying it for some time now. We have so far studied 30 instructions. We'll continue from 31 onwards. The 31st instruction is the subject matter of this instruction is already familiar to us from our study of the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna has said that we should remain neutral and unaffected by the dualities of life, dualities that are inevitable in life. So the instruction is Audasinyam abhipsyatam. Audasinyam means remaining neutral and unaffected by anything, maintaining an even position and equipoise under all circumstances. A spiritual seeker should not be emotionally disturbed or disturbed in any way by three things. First, by the duality such as heat and cold, pain and pleasure, loss and gain, praise and blame. These things happen in everybody's life. No one, no matter how powerful, how wise, how strong, has ever been able to escape from these dualities completely. It's part of life. We have to accept it and go on. The second thing, by the events, pleasant or unpleasant, that happen around us. In everybody's life, unpleasant things happen. Cannot be avoided. We have to learn to remain unperturbed and as unaffected as possible by these inevitabilities. The third thing is we should remain unconcerned, unperturbed by what people, other people do and say about us, their opinions about us. This instruction will come again in a later instruction. The same idea will come. We have to remain unperturbed even if people think ill of us or speak ill of us. When they praise us, we should not become too much elated or proud. And when they don't praise us, when they speak ill about us, in our absence or even in our presence, that should not bother us too much. We should maintain an even position, equipoise, equanimity under these circumstances. The word udasinaha means a person who rises above all these things. Ut means the preposition, ut means above. Asina means a person who sits, who is not affected by all these things which happen in everybody's life. He remains above, tries to maintain equanimity under all circumstances, pleasant or unpleasant. In the Narada's devotional aphorisms, Narada has an aphorism which says about the same thing. Narada says, lokaha no chintana karya. The word lokahani can be understood in two ways. Lokasya hanihi, when some harm comes to, loka means the people around us, the world around us, great calamity befalls, then also we should remain unperturbed. Not that we should not react, we should do whatever we can, but not emotionally become disturbed. Lokahani also means loss of worldly things in our life. Bereavement, loss of property, loss of job, and other family problems. These things are, they happen. We have to remain as unperturbed as possible under these circumstances. It does not mean that a spiritual aspirant should not be moved by the suffering of other people and should remain indifferent. When a spiritual aspirant sees suffering or need, he or she should do whatever needs to be done or what can be done without being disturbed and without favoring one party over the other. This is how Shankara defines udasina. In the Bhagavad Gita, the word udasina comes. Udasina vadasina. Remaining unconcerned, unperturbed, neutral. Unconcerned is not very accurate. We should be concerned, but we should remain unperturbed. Nakasyachit paksham bhajate. If there are two parties involved in a dispute, it's better not to take sides. We should be fair to both sides. Being fair to both sides, not favoring one party over the other, that is part of being udasina. Without emotionally becoming disturbed and without favoring one party over the other, in case several parties are involved in a situation, and when it comes to helping other people, we should favor everybody equally. If there are people belonging to several religious faiths who are affected by a natural calamity, we should not go there and say we'll favor only those people who belong to our, who share our faiths and not others. That should not be done. In the eyes of God, everyone is the same. They may be following different religious faiths, traditions, but I should remain neutral and help everybody alike. That neutrality. Swamiji said, I shall take 1,000 births to help even one poor person or suffering person. A devotee or a jnani is fully convinced that everything happens by the will of God according to our prarabdha karma. And practices forbearance. No misery comes except as we have paved the way for it ourselves, Swamiji said. Likewise, no good thing also happens. When good thing happens, we don't complain, so there is no problem. It's when bad things happen, when some kind of suffering comes, it is then that the question comes, why? When things go right, we don't ask why. Everything is all right today, I don't have any problem. That question we don't ask. We ask the question why, when only when something goes wrong. But the answer is, nothing wrong or nothing good also, nothing wrong happens to us except as we have paved the way for it ourselves. That is the firm conviction in the law of karma. Therefore, we have to bear it calmly without lamenting about it. That discipline is also called titiksha. In the Viveka Chodamani, Shankara defines this discipline of forbearance in this way. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apratikara purvakam chinta vilaparahitam sa titiksha nigadyate. Titiksha means sarva dukkhanam sahanam, bearing all suffering, any kind of suffering, family problem, job problem, health problem, financial problem, children problem, any number of problems arise. Forbearing, withstanding, bearing all these problems without sense of retaliation, apratikara purvakam, chinta vilaparahitam, without brooding, oh, this happened, or this may is going to happen, brooding about the future also. Vilapa means lamentation, without lamenting. It's all right if to share our problems with one or two close friends. Sometimes it helps to unburden our grief, our burden. But that should not mean that we should keep on harping about this problem, telling everybody, making everybody also, spoiling their moods also. So that is vilaparahitam satitiksha nigadyate. A spiritual aspirant accepts everything, adversity and success, and all dualities with equanimity. That equanimity is called audasinyam. In the Gita, Sri Krishna also gives the same instruction. In the 5th chapter, Sri Krishna, there is a nice verse in the Gita, na prahrishyet priyam prapya, na advijet prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhi rasam moodho brahmavid brahmani sthitaha. A knower of Brahman, a knower of God, he does not become too much elated if something good happens. Priyam prapya na prahrishyet, he remains, maintains equanimity, calmness. When something good happens, people lose control and celebrate in an unwise fashion. You can see when a football team wins, when the University of Maryland football team or basketball team won in NCAA, you know how they celebrated. Several people were injured and taken to hospital. Several people were arrested and taken to jail. That sort of celebration is not... You feel good, you feel happy, you share with people your happiness, that is all right. But not in such fashion. Apriyam prapya navadvijet. If something bad happens, we should not become too much grief-stricken, depressed, dejected. We should maintain equanimity, sthira buddhi. So that is the 31st instruction of Shankara. Now we go to this 32nd instruction. This is also... in this, along the same lines, janakrupa naishturyam utsrijyatam. Utsarjanam means giving up. Janakrupa naishturyam. Krupa means kindness, mercy, compassion, or favor. You know, if somebody does a favor to us, gives a ride from here to airport or someplace, then we say, badi krupa hui. A great favor has been done. Thank you. Like this we have to say. But we should not take advantage of that kindness of people. Naishturya means rude behavior, hurtful behavior on the part of other people. So Shankara says, remain unaffected by these things. Janakrupa naishturyam utsrijyatam. Give up dependence on other people's kindness and remain unaffected by other people's rudeness. We always want other people to like us and say nice things about us. we do not like it. If some people dislike us, what other people think of us is important to us. A true devotee or Vedantin should remain indifferent to what other people think of him. He or she should not crave for popularity and praise, and should remain indifferent to the opinions of other people, to praise and blame. Not that we should remain insensitive. When people criticize us, we should examine the criticism. If it is true, we have to correct it, accept it. They are saying, telling the truth. If it is not true, if they are doing it because they don't like us for some reason, if they criticize us unfairly, then we should ignore that one. It's not true. But we should not become dejected or angry and respond in anger. If you crave for praise, we have to accept blame also. They come together. No matter what we do, some people praise us and some people blame us for the same thing. There are so many stories like that. A man was walking with his little son with a pony. And some people criticized him. Oh, this man is making the boy also walk. Why the pony is there? Why should he not make the boy sit on the pony? Little boy is walking long distance. So he did that one. He heard the criticism. He responded. And after he went a few steps, some people criticized. Look at this person. He is an old man. And he is walking, and the boy can walk. So then he made the boy get down, and he himself sat on the pony. Then some people criticized him again. This man has no compassion, that poor animal. So he went back to the original position. Both of them were walking. So this is the nature of the world. You do one thing, some people praise you for that, some people blame you for that. You do the opposite, same thing happens. Therefore, the solution is not to react to every criticism. We should be sensitive, but we should not react and feel dejected or angry. Anger is not good. In the Gita, Sri Krishna says, describing the qualities of a true devotee of God, Sri Krishna says, Tulya Ninda Stutihi. Ninda means blame, Stuti means praise. Tulya means saman, equal. Some people praise us, some people blame us. That is the nature of the world. We cannot help it. So why we should react to everything that people do or say? Let them say. They have the freedom to speak. They have the freedom to think. To expect that everybody should praise me always and think well of me is not realistic. Tulyaninda Stutir Mauni. In the Narada Bhakti Sutras, Devotional Aphorisms of Narada says that great teachers are unconcerned about public criticism. See, when Bhaktivedanta Swami came, I think it was in 1965, from India to New York, he stood in the streets of Manhattan with his gerwa cloth and went on chanting Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna in public square. He was not afraid of people may think, oh, he's a crazy person coming from some third world country. Let people would think whatever they want. I am taking the name of God. Unafraid of public view or criticism. That became a big movement. The lives of so many people were transformed in a positive direction. That is what Narada says in his bhakti aphorism, devotional aphorisms. Narada says that great teachers of devotion, such as Vyasa, Shuka, Shandilya, Hanuman, Vibhishana, and others preached devotion unafraid of the gossip of people. Janajalpa nirbhayaha. Janajalpa means gossip, useless talk. Janajalpa nirbhayaha, not afraid. What if I go in dhoti, what will people think of me? No. If something is right, I will do it. Regardless of what other people may think about that one. Janajalpa nirbhayaha. Sri Ramakrishna said, the devotees should sing and dance freely, taking the name of God. There was kirtan going on constantly in Sri Ramakrishna's room in Dakshineswara, or whenever he used to visit devotees' homes in Kolkata or other places. There used to be constantly talk about God, singing about God, dancing in ecstasy. But some people were standing behind, they were hesitating to take the name of God and sing and dance. Sri Ramakrishna said, why should there be any hesitation to take the name of God and sing and dance? Give up all such hesitation and freely dance. A jnani who finds joy in the self does not seek satisfaction from praise and remains unaffected by blame. Because the satisfaction that comes from other people's opinion, what other people say, is not true satisfaction. Because as we have seen, this kind of praise cannot be separated from blame. They all come together. That is not true happiness. True happiness must be unconditional and inherent. It should not depend upon what other people think about us. If I always, for my satisfaction, for my happiness, if I want people to praise me, that's not the right thing to do. Because that is not happiness at all. True happiness must be independent of what other people think, what happens in the world, external circumstances. True happiness must be unconditional and it must be inherent, cannot be altered by anything, cannot be lost, cannot diminish. And that kind of happiness coming from the self within, that is the only true kind of happiness. Any other kind of happiness that comes from possessions, property, from activities, from fame, from fame, from success, other good things, that is not true happiness. Sri Krishna describes nicely in the Gita the limitations of such kinds of happiness. We think it is happiness. We interpret all these things as happiness. If I have a very expensive house and a big car, several cars and nice children and, you know, beauty and good position and power and lot of money, all this brings me happiness. That's all completely misunderstanding. Because they are not inherent. They are highly conditional. They come and go. And even if those things are intact, my ability to enjoy them will diminish rapidly with age. All the food I can eat is available, but I cannot eat because of my disability. I'm being tube-fed. The refrigerator is full. The pantry is full of food, all expensive, nice kinds of food. But I'm being given nutrition by a tube. Why? What happened? My ability to enjoy the sense objects diminishes rapidly with time. Everything can be intact, or the opposite may happen. I may be intact and ready and able and willing to enjoy, but the object may leave me. Either way, separation is inevitable. Therefore, Sri Krishna says, Nate Shuramate Buddha. A wise person does not depend upon this kind of happiness. Then what is it? Source of happiness. We should not be morose and unhappy. We should be happy. Everybody should be happy. Maximum happiness we should strive for. Vedanta says, don't be unhappy. Find happiness in the right way. Find the maximum happiness, unconditional, undiminishing, inherent happiness. That is true happiness. This is what a true jnani or a devotee does. Describing the qualities of a sthita prajna, a person of steady wisdom, in the second chapter of the Gita, Sri Krishna says, Atmani eva atmana tushtaha. Later in third chapter, he says, Atmaritihi atmatriptaha. One who is not dependent upon external circumstances and objects for happiness finds unconditional intrinsic joy, ananda, bliss in this self, that person is a wise person, that person is a happy person. Otherwise, if I depend upon my happiness for what other people think about me, or how much money I have, or how young I am, youth will go away. Ayurunnashyati pasyatam pratidinam yatikshayam yavvanam pratikshanam yavvanam yati. Every moment youth is going away. We should be happy when it is there, but when it goes away, we should accept it as inevitable changes in life. Once a devotee brought a newspaper. Sri Ramakrishna was visiting somebody's house, and one person brings a newspaper and starts talking about it. The newspaper had an article criticizing Sri Ramakrishna. People used to think of him as a mad person because they didn't know his devotion. Sri Ramakrishna immediately said, asked him to throw the newspaper away and not raise the topic again. Didn't pay a second thought because there was an article criticizing him in the newspaper. But if somebody so much as says a harsh word to us, we smart. We take it so seriously. Why did he say like this? That kind of disturbs us for days. But not so in the case of Sri Ramakrishna. Didn't even give a second thought to. Simply asked the devotee to throw the newspaper away and not bring up the topic again. Once when Sri Ramakrishna was in an ecstatic mood, another priest who was jealous of him kicked Sri Ramakrishna. That incident we know from the biography of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna simply ignored the incident and didn't even complain or speak about it to anybody. You have heard the story of the great Maharashtrian saint Eknath Maharaj. In his whole life, he never became angry, though many people tried everything possible, including spitting on his face many, many times to make him angry. That kind of inward stability that is difficult to achieve. But we have to strive. The ability to remain unaffected by what happens outside of us or in our own minds, that's a great virtue. Sri Shankara explains that. How a jnani or devotee remains unaffected by praise or blame is described in the Jivan Mukti Viveka. This sadhana panchakam, there is a Kannada translation of this by Swami Nityasthananda. Who is now in the Bellarmath Acharya, the training center. Used to be in Mysore, small booklet in Kannada, that's what I am studying. There I found this quotation from Jivan Mukti Viveka, another work on Advaita Vedanta. Shariram yadi nindanti sahayaste janamama atmanam yadi nindanti swatmanam swayamevahi. Yadi shariram nindanti janaha. If other people criticize about my appearance, about my dress, about how much money I have or lack of money or some other quality, external quality like that, te janaha mama sahayaha, they are helping me. Because all these things are really not sources of happiness. Money goes away, youth goes away, beauty goes away, fame also fades. So they are telling the truth. If they criticize these things, we should welcome that criticism. They are telling the truth. They are helping me to realize the transitory, fleeting nature of all these things. Yadi atmanam nindanti, when they blame my inner self, swatmanam swayamevahi, they are blaming themselves because same atman is present in all. If they are blaming the self, then they are blaming themselves as they are also the same self. In his powerful words, Swamiji has exhorted us to remain indifferent to praise and blame. In the Song of Sinyasin he wrote, heed then no more how body lives or goes, its task is done, let karma float it down, let one put garlands on, another kick this frame, say not. No praise or blame can be, where praise or praised and blame or blamed are one. Thus be thou calm, sannyasin bold, say, Om Tat Sat Om. That is the instruction on maintaining equanimity and all circumstances. Now we go to the last verse containing the last eight verses, last eight instructions. 33rd instruction is about solitude. The instructions are very simple, 3-4 words or 2-3 words in each. Ekante sukhamasyatam, find joy in solitude, not in crowds. He explains why. We seek comfort in company. We are afraid to be alone because it is boring. If there is no company, we turn on the TV and watch all the soap operas and whatever is happening. Or we keep a pet or something. Some company is needed. Dependence on other being for our happiness and comfort. There is a quotation ascribed to Emerson, the famous American thinker. He says, there is no company as companionable as solitude. See, Ramakrishna talks about solitude on many occasions. Emerson talked about solitude. For serious seekers practicing spiritual disciplines, solitude is very important. In several places in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna has mentioned solitude. Yogi yunjita satatam atmanam rahasi sthitaha in the 6th chapter. For practicing meditation or any other spiritual discipline, we should resort to a solitary place and remain alone. Later on we will see what is the problem if other people are there in the same place. We will see that there is a nice story in the Avadhuta Gita. Sri Ramakrishna often spoke of the importance of solitude. Now I am going to read a couple of instructions, passages from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. He spoke many times, on many occasions, about the importance of solitude, resorting to solitary places. These are quotations from the Gospel. The mind cannot dwell on God if it is immersed day and night in worldliness, in worldly duties and responsibilities. It is most necessary to go into solitude now and then and think of God. To fix the mind on God is very difficult in the beginning unless one practices meditation in solitude. When a tree is young, it should be fenced all around, otherwise it may be destroyed by cattle. This is on page 81 of the Gospel. On page 139, another passage, same instruction. Even if one lives in the world, one must go into solitude now and then. It will be of great help to a man if he goes away from his family, lives alone, and weeps for God even for 3 days. Even if he thinks of God for 1 day in solitude, when he has the leisure, that too will do him good. And another quotation on page 313, speaking to householders, giving instructions to householders, Sri Ramakrishna said, they must practice spiritual discipline in solitude for some days. Thus they will acquire devotion. Then it will not hurt them to lead the life of the world. But when you practice discipline in solitude, keep yourself entirely away from your family. You must not allow your wife, son, daughter, mother, father, sister, brother, friends or relatives near you. While thus practicing discipline in solitude, you should think, I have no one else in the world. God is my all in all. You must also pray to Him with tears in your eyes for knowledge and devotion. The last quotation on the same page, 313. If you ask me how long you should live in solitude away from your family, I should say that it would be good for you if you could spend even 1 day in such a manner. 3 days at a time are still better. One may live in solitude for 12 days, a month, 3 months, or a year, according to one's convenience and ability. One has not much to fear if one leads the life of a householder after attaining knowledge and devotion. Now we have to reflect on this whole question of solitude. What is solitude? Solitude is not physically going to a separate place and remaining alone in a room or in a forest. That is not solitude. Solitude is calmness of the mind. Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi explains this. Solitude is not physically being alone in a secluded place. A yogi can be in the midst of a crowd and yet maintain complete calmness. It's not how many people are there or what else is there that matters to an advanced seeker. In the beginning, it matters. But not when one is established in spiritual practice. Then it doesn't matter how many people are there. Anything may be going on. But I remain completely calm and unperturbed in anything. I am completely anchored in the self. That is solitude. Inner calmness, inward calmness is solitude. Another person can be physically alone in a secluded and lonely place or in a forest, and yet his mind can be crowded with all kinds of thoughts. There is nobody else, but that person is so restless that there is no solitude. All the thoughts are crowding, passions are raging in the mind and very solitude. Though there is nobody else present there, that person is not having the benefit of solitude. The ability of a yogi to maintain calmness of mind even in the midst of a crowd is the result of long and arduous spiritual practice. In the beginning stages, it is necessary to remain in a secluded place. When we reach that stage, then we know. Then there is no question. But before we reaching that stage, in our present stage, we do need physical separation. Sri Ramakrishna has instructed, until we acquire the ability to maintain inward calmness regardless of circumstances, we should create a fence around us. All other worldly thoughts will come and they affect our minds. So we should turn on the TV or go to a place where there is no TV, no other person to start talking. That kind of physical separation is helpful in the beginning stages. In spiritual life, we are beginners. Just as a tender sapling needs protection from cattle, we need protection from the worldly environment, noises and other disturbing stimuli coming from so many places. All kinds of stimuli, sensory stimuli, are coming to us from every direction. We should protect ourselves from the onslaught of such stimuli. Physical seclusion provides that protection. Nowadays, we are connected to the worldly environment through many channels. Texting, even while driving, some people do the texting, though it is very dangerous. iPhone, iPad, iPod, BlackBerry, and some other appliances, beepers, not to speak of radio and TV, and the company of other people. All these are distractions. In the beginning stages of spiritual life, we should separate ourselves from all these sources of disturbance. Every day, at least for some time, we should disconnect ourselves from these tethers and practice calmness of mind. That is solitude. We shall conclude this topic of doing spiritual practices in solitude with a reference to a story which has come before, a story of the coming in the Avadhuta Gita portion of the Bhagavatam. In a small village, there was a family, farming people, and in that family there was a young lady, marriageable age, and one day they were expecting some important visitors. Probably a possible bridegroom was going to visit, and she had to prepare the rice. She had to pound the paddy and dehusk the paddy to make it rice. So she started pounding the paddy with a mace. And then that lady was wearing several bracelets, bangles, probably made of glass or conch, in each hand, 7 or 8 in each. And as she was pounding, besides the pounding noise itself, the bangles were banging against each other and making a lot of noise. Then she thought in her mind that the visitors who are coming today to our family, they may think I'm a clumsy person, I make too much noise when I work. So they may not like me. Therefore, from each hand, she removed one bangle, put them aside, and then with the remaining bangles in hand, she started pounding. Still there was noise, little bit less, small difference. Then she, no, this is not satisfactory, still it is making noise, I should work silently. Then she removed one more bangle from each hand, put it aside, and then started pounding the paddy. Still there was noise. She went on doing this, one at a time from each hand she would remove, and until only 2 bangles were left in each hand. Only 2 in each hand. And when she started pounding, even those 2 were making a little bit of noise. Then she said, no, this is not going to work. She removed one more from each hand. Only 1 bangle was remaining in each hand. And she started pounding, then there was no noise. there was an avadhuta in that town who was visiting that family, who had gone there for begging food. He watched all of these things. And he comes to the conclusion that just like in the case of that young lady, there was noise even when there were two bangles in each hand. Only when there is one, then there is no noise. For his, he came to the conclusion that for a serious spiritual seeker, solitude is the solution for spiritual practice. Even if there are two people, they will ask, how are you, weather is nice, today is very cold. Or they will disagree on something, will start arguing. If there are three or more people, there is a crowd. Then, you know, there is no solitude at all. So he comes to the conclusion and expresses his conclusion in a nice sloka, in a verse. This is the verse. Vase bahunam kalaho bhavedvarta dvayorapi eka eva charet tasmat kumarya iva kankanaha. Just like the kankana of a kumari. Kumari means a girl, young lady. Kankana means bracelet. Just like the bracelet of hands of a young lady, if there are two, they make noise. Solution, for silence, only one must be there. Ekaeva charet tasmat, a spiritual aspirant must move, do spiritual practice alone, in solitude. Dvayorapi varta bhavet, even if there are two people, then they start discussing. They may start discussing about Vedanta, and they may say, one is say, oh, Advaita is best, other one is say, no, Bhakti is best, somebody is something. This kind of argument will come. Bhavedvarta dvayorapi, therefore, tasmat, eka eva charit. We should practice all spiritual practices in solitude. So that is why Shankaracharya says, ekanta, in solitude, one should practice spiritual discipline. Now let us reflect for a few minutes in silence.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve badrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from afflictions, may all realize what is auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om peace, may there be peace and joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Hari Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ram Krishna Arpanamastu.